You're listening to a Connect Inc. Teach Central podcast. I'm Susan Everhart. Our topic today is appropriate praise and helpful criticism, and our guest is Dr. Tom McIntyre. Welcome, Tom, and thanks again for being here.
Thanks again for inviting me, Susan.
Well, we had talked a little bit before about praise and criticism and how it can backfire. Let's talk first about praise, and obviously the intention of any praise would be to recognize good behavior.
Yes, we all like to be recognized for our efforts and for our positive actions. It's part of feeling connected and appreciated to other people. It feels good to be recognized positively. But I suspect a lot of your folks have had certain praises directed at them, and it's been uncomfortable. Oh, you're such a generous person. You're such a nice person. Oh, you're a teacher. You must be so patient. And it feels good to hear it, but somehow we say, you know, this doesn't fit me all the time. I'm not always generous. I'm not always tolerant. That certain types of praise could be improved upon. And in fact, we even have some emerging research by especially Carol Dweck out in California, as she does experiments with different types of praise and finds that some will actually work against what it is that we're trying to accomplish. There are several types of praise that have been looked at, and we find some are very beneficial and helpful in creating the sort of behavior we'd like to see. I mean, that certainly is a big benefit to us. I show this behavior, and I get recognized, and I get appreciated. But how we express that appreciation is important. Those of us who are working with the non-motivated kids, the defiant kids, the kids who just don't put forth a whole lot of effort, there's sometimes a tendency to give them unearned praise. The youngster finally submits an assignment. It's not up to standard. It's substandard for what that youngster is capable of. And we say, oh, thanks so much. It's really nice to get this from you. And we think that that will bring more, but what it's really saying is this work is fine for a person of your low ability. I don't expect any more of you. I will accept this from you. And instead, what we would want to do in that situation is probably give some criticism in the form of what's known as a criticism sandwich. You start out with a positive commentary. I really appreciate receiving this from you. However, I've got to tell you, based upon what I know you're capable of doing, I'm seeing here a lack of descriptive. I would like to see more. It's what we would like to see versus where you're failing. I'd like to see more descriptive words, some of those color words, the adjectives and the adverbs. Remember to pay attention to the capitalization and punctuation. But I got to tell you, it feels good to have one of these in my hand with a big smile toward the youngster. Start out positive, constructive criticism as to how it can be improved, what to do, and then following up with a nice statement or encouragement. Chaim Ganatz, a pioneer in the field of managing youngsters' behavior and use of psychology in the classroom, said probably even more important than praise is encouragement, saying, I believe in you, I believe in you, I believe in you. Another type of praise, which we find to be contraindicated, is effusive praise, lavish praise, or a rather non-demanding accomplishment. Holy moly, fantastic job of passing out the papers, or great googly moogly, that's a spectacular job of hamster cage cleaning. You're a super-duper pooper scooper. And, you know, it was just passing out papers. This youngster has been the hamster monitor three times before during the school year, and it gives kids incorrect perceptions of their performance. And after age about 7 or 8, kids simply dismiss this type of praise as being insincere. They recognize that it's been used with them by parents and by teachers up until this age. They're becoming more cognizant that it really isn't deserved. And I think in situations like this, we say, thank you for handing out the papers. We show some sincere appreciation, or we describe the outcome that has come about. I know that's redundant, but I used to work for the Department of Redundancy Department. A description of the outcome, like, yes, your desk is well organized now, and pointing out the wonderful outcome in this situation. Another type we'd like to avoid is what's known as faint praise. Praise that hints back at the past problems we've had with this youngster. You know, Monique, good to see you arrive on time, for once. Jonea, I'm elated to see a completed journal reflection today. It's the first one you've done all week, pointing out how you haven't been performing up to this point. I'm shocked, flabbergasted. I never thought you'd pass that exam. What does that say about our belief in the youngster, you know, that if I didn't think you were going to pass that exam? So we want to keep praise in the present. Thank you for arriving on time. I'm elated to see a completed journal reflection today. You were paying attention and you were focused, Jazz, focusing on what the youngster has just done well, keeping a negative past out of it. But if we want to reminisce back to positive times, you know, this is another time when you've earned all your points for the morning session. Well done. And if we do reminisce, it's back to the good old days. Another type of praise, which I had trouble wrapping my brain around for a while, is what's known as controlling praise, where we have, there appears as if we have ulterior motives in the praise. De jure, you've kept your language clean last period. Be sure to keep your words acceptable for this period, too. So saying you have done well, continue to do that. I'm saying, what's wrong with that? But we have research with 3rd, 5th, and 8th graders that show this keep it up, keep doing it praise actually destroyed student motivation to continue on with that desired behavior.
Why is that?
I guess it's because the kids see the praise as being insincere. You're only saying this to get more out of me. And while, you know, we could express that in wording to say, I know you're capable of more, saying, keep doing it, or be sure to keep, you know, to continue doing this, giving a direction to continue it, is actually works against our goal. It might be, DeJure, you've kept your language clean last period, and I know my ears are going to be happy next period, too. There you're saying, I know you can do it, versus do it.
That's very interesting. In thinking about praise, you are, especially the praise sandwich with the constructive criticism within those two praises, is there more to talk about with criticism and constructive criticism?
Definitely. We always want to point out what can be done versus where you're falling short. So instead of saying something like, you know, you do this every time, I keep getting writing outside of the margins, or here's another homework submitted without a heading. For some kids, we have to give them very specific directions. They're at a point where they need our guidance because they're not sure what to do in a situation, or they need to be prodded a bit, and it would be put a heading on the top of your paper. But we want youngsters to become more self-managed, self-controlled, self-directed and regulated. And over time, we would move them to question directions, sort of like, oops, what do we need to put at the top? Not what did you forget, what needs to be at the top. And now the youngster has to say, what does need to be at the top? And the youngster thinks about solving the problem and solves it, but different levels of giving direction. There's another type of praise that I'd like to address that is oftentimes given with best intent, believing that we are motivating the youngsters, and it even goes back to the self-esteem movement of the 80s when we believed that if we gave youngsters non-challenging work and then told them they were smart, they would be really motivated to do well. And we found out that worked against what we were trying to accomplish. The labeling praise, telling a kid, you're a good boy, you're a smart kid, especially when a youngster has been told, perhaps in the home or in previous years in school, you're a bad boy or you're not very bright. And we say, well, if we just give them a different label, that'll be fine. Oftentimes that backfires as kids say, boy, teacher, you're not very with it. Let me show you who I am and give you their present demonstration of their low self-esteem, and they immediately react in a negative way. I'm saying, you know, how could this possibly be? Who wouldn't want to hear you're a good boy or you're a good girl? And then I think back to when I was 10 years old, and what if some teacher had given me the supreme compliment that you can give to another human being? Tom, you are the type of person who is known for being nurturing, cooperative, supportive, verbally skilled? Tom, you are a girl. It doesn't match who I am, just giving me that label, Tom, you are a girl. And immediately you're going to get some wacky, boyish behavior, a Three Stooges type thing, as I evidence who I am. So we want to get away from labeling praise. What do we do instead? Describe the action that pleases you. Instead of, wow, you're really smart, and again, avoiding a perfect praise too. Wow, you got all your homework points this week, or wow, 100%, the only one in class. We talk about what did you do to get that 100%? What did you do to get your homework in? And it might be, I saw you studying with your flashcards with your friend over there, and I think that really helped you out in your spelling test. Thank you for paying such attention. Or I saw you going to the glossary to look up the meanings of words. That was a bright thing to do. Not you are bright, but that was a bright thing to do. Focusing on the behaviors that will lead to higher scores versus focusing on the score or perfect behavior in and of itself.
I think our teachers will find that very interesting and something that teachers actually can take right back into their classrooms and adjust what they may be doing today.
Yeah, sometimes this sounds like behavioral pablum, like, you know, who wouldn't do this? But then we say, you know, am I doing that? And it is difficult to initially instigate. And what will happen is the old way of phrasing things will come out of our mouth, but then we'll quickly catch ourselves and say, oh, what I meant to say was. And then we become more skilled at the use of descriptive in-the-moment praise.
Please join us next time when we talk with Tom about a good classroom management system. I'm Susan Everhart for Teach Central. Thanks.